my microphone up?
There we go. Okay. Yeah, the switch was stuck in between mute and unmute. Sorry about that. Well, thank you, Sue, for reading our scriptures today. And boy, wasn't that just not an uplifting scripture at all. But bear with me. There is a message of hope and of promise, an opportunity in what we heard from the prophet Amos today. And just a reminder, we're spending time this summer, I'm calling it a summer road trip, a summer journey with God's prophets that quite often speak things that we don't always want to hear. And as we journey with the prophets, we're moving into the margin spaces of our lives, in our world, in our societies, that is where God speaks from. God very rarely comes and speaks in the places that we know and that we've experienced, that we think we understand. God is always speaking to us from the margins, the places that we are not as familiar with, the places that are unknown, that are new. And when we hear those voices, sometimes they are challenging to us. And that's what we hear today. But there really is something good and special for us in this passage. And it starts out that way. You got to hold on to that basket of summer fruit that Amos is shown by God. And I don't know exactly what would be in that basket, but picture whatever delicious and wonderful things that you like to eat in the summer. You know, I'm thinking like fresh sweet corn, you know, those few weeks that you can just go and pick it. As kids, we would go out and pick it in the garden and put it on the, you know, get it cooked that night, and there's nothing better than sweet corn, fresh sweet corn. So that's one of the things that I might picture. Maybe blueberries is the other thing. You know, in the summertime, you got to go out and pick those blueberries before the bears get them all, right? So whatever, it's wonderful. It's amazing. It's good. It's what God wants us to have. That's that basket of summer fruit that is the very first thing that God shows to Amos. What do you see? All the wonderful things that the world around us, all the wonderful things that we have to experience in life that makes it full and meaningful. It's right here in front of you, and it's here for you to take advantage of, to use and enjoy before it's gone. That's the image that Amos is shown, this beautiful basket of summer fruit. It's like, have you even gone to on a trip, kind of like what I said to the kids, you know, some place that you love, some exotic and wonderful location, you know, like Hawaii, Managua, anyone gone there? Some of our yearly visitors here are saying, yeah, there's so many wonderful, beautiful places in our world that we love to go to, right, that are just filled with beauty. But how many of you have gone there and you're excited to arrive? Maybe you're coming here to Managua and you're going to go to one of our wonderful beaches on one of the wonderful lakes, and you get there and there's a piece of trash on the beach. How does that make you feel? You know, the reality is anywhere we go, we will see signs of human activity and influence. And sometimes human activity and influence is not always good. You know, I saw a headline a few weeks ago on one of my news feeds that I read every day that popped up that caught my attention, and it's the title of the sermon that we have today. Mars Rover Finds Trash on Mars. And it caught my eye. It's a pretty catchy headline. Mars Rover, finds trash on Mars. I thought it was going to be, when I clicked on it, I thought it was going to be, you know, a funny, comical, story about them finding, you know, Martians or something like that, you know. But it turned out to be a serious article for a small scientific journal that one of the Mars rovers that we have running around on the surface of Mars right now, taking pictures and samples and sending information back to us, ran across a piece of human trash on the surface of Mars. Now, what it was a small piece of one of the spaceships and satellites and probes that we've shot at Mars, that we've sent to Mars, that kind of just, you know, once it gets there, what is it going to happen? What's going to do? It's not coming back. That's just there. And one of the rovers found one of those pieces of trash on Mars. And it was still a good article, but it just made me think of what God's trying to say here is, no matter what's going on around us, no matter the great and amazing thing, there are going to be things that are not quite right. It's an amazing accomplishment that we have on the surface of Mars. It's a great and amazing accomplishment for humanity that we have put a remote control vehicle on another planet that can move around and do all kinds of scientific study and things that we can learn and understand about, you know, something for the most of us that we just see in the night sky. That's an amazing and awesome thing. But there is also the truth that we're littering on the planet Mars. There's some of our trash out there. You know, there's no place that we can go on the face of this planet. Even a remote desert island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. If you go there, guess what you're going to find? Trash. You know, that's a truth. That happens. And sometimes we as human beings, we as people, get really good at ignoring the things that are not quite right. Now, I have to confess, this week, I was coming to work, you know, pulled into the parking lot. It was early, and I park, and I get out of the car, and I close the car door, and I look down, and on the ground is a little baggie, a little sandwich bag, and it's got a bunch of crushed Oreos in it, crushed Cheerios in it, and some empty Mott's fruit snack wrappers in it. So very clearly, this was some family, some little kids' car trip travel snack bag that had fallen out of their car, and it was just sitting there. But you know, my mind was thinking of all that I needed to do, and I walked right past it. What God is talking in Amos is saying, here are all the wonderful things that I have, that I want for you, that is good and whole, that brings fullness to life. And Amos sees it. And then God says, but at the same time, Amos, you need to see all that is not right around it. And God's not happy in this passage at all about the things that are not right. But you might be thinking, well, Pastor Mark, doesn't the Bible also tell us not to focus on the negative things so much? And even when things are really bad and broken and we're filled with fear and despair, don't we hear things like God saying, be still and know that I'm God. Do not be afraid. Don't we hear like Jesus with the disciples, there's a storm and Jesus is not worried about those things and tells us not to worry about the storms in life because God is with us, right? Shouldn't we be focusing on the good things that we have before us instead of the things that aren't right? But God is in Amos is trying to make sure that we're aware, that we see the things that are not quite right around us with what's going on. And in particular, God wants us to see the things that are not right in the ways in which we as human beings treat one another. That's really where God is getting angry about. But we do have that tendency to ignore the things that aren't right or to minimize them, right? How many times have, I won't go, I'll uses, I remember we took the kids to Chicago, our kids to Chicago a few years ago, and it was wonderful. We saw some family, we went to Shedd Aquarium, we went to the Willis Towers or the Sears Tower, and it was great, and all the wonderful things that we saw, but we were walking downtown to go get Chicago-style deep-dish pizza, and we were really excited for that. But as we walked the sidewalk, we were walking past all of the homeless people just sleeping in the shadows of the buildings there on the sidewalks. And I remember the kids asking, why are those people there? They could tell that it was something not right, but we just kept walking. No, just keep walking. Don't. Our response was to don't look at it. Don't acknowledge it. Just move past. Go do what we're supposed to be doing. And God is, in this passage, is trying to lift up that while there are so many wonderful things, we do need to look and see where things are not right. We shouldn't be people who ignore it. We shouldn't be people who don't acknowledge that there's something not quite right, especially when it comes to the exploitation and the oppression of other people. God was very clear in Amos's voice to speak about the condition of humanity. Now, Amos was speaking to Israel, which in this context would have been the northern portions of what we consider Israel today, or the northern portions of ancient Israel as well. The people of Israel, they had a civil war and they broke into two, north and south. And then down in the southern part where Jerusalem was, that became known as Judah. And in the northern part, that they kept the name Israel. And so Amos is actually speaking to that northern section of Israel. And they're quite prosperous at the time that Amos is speaking to them. And things are good for them. Times are good for Israel. And Amos brings this word, though, that there are people that this prosperity has come at the expense of other people, that people have been oppressed and exploited for the prophet with an F, of others. And we hear that as he talks about how the poor have been trampled and the needy are sold for silver and for a pair of sandals, that the people were being exploited for the gain of others. And not only was it in the society, but it was also happening within the structures of the church. When he talks about, when is the new moon over so we can sell our grain? When is the Sabbath done so we can sell our wheat? In the Jewish tradition, you couldn't sell. You couldn't do business on the Sabbath. You couldn't work. You couldn't do business. You couldn't do that on the holy days, on the sacred days, the festival days of the new moon and those. So that's where they're talking, that they saw their faith and their relationship with God as a hindrance to gaining profit and prosperity. And that was what was making God upset, at how people were treating other people, both in the society and in the faith. There are too many examples that I could bring up of those exact kind of things happening in our world right now. But I don't want us to focus on the problem, because that's really not what God was doing. That's really not at all, because hidden in this, we hear a story of God ultimately going to bring hope. All of the prophets that we hear from point towards God's actions of grace and of salvation in Jesus. The reference to the day to the darkness in the middle of the day is a reference to the coming and to the crucifixion of Christ for the salvation of all humanity. That even while seeing the problem, God was already working for the solution. And that's what we need to hear and see. That even while people would be longing to hear God's word and they couldn't hear it from what he was saying because of their actions, because of the problems that were going on, God was making way for a new solution, to bring about a new way for us to experience the world and to enjoy all that God has for us and to bring everyone in to that celebration so that everyone could experience the joy and the wonders of that summer fruit that God showed to Amos. It makes me, as I think of that, it makes me think of when our oldest son Jonah came home from like 4K or kindergarten, first grade. He was pretty young, you know. And he came home and he was all excited to talk to us about how the teachers were telling him how to be part of the solution. Because they were talking with all the little kids in the classroom, you know, all these kindergartners and young little kids. And the teachers knew invariably that all of these wonderful little kids that are all excited and they've got all kind of friends, there's going to be a problem, right? That someone has a marker that somebody else wants to have. That something isn't quite right and that is going to be a big problem for a little kid, right? You know, whatever it was, maybe little Johnny was on the swing that little Sally wanted to swing on, and that was a big problem for Sally. And so the teachers are talking about whatever the problem is, you can either choose to be a part of the problem and stay in the problem, or you can choose to be a part of the solution. And that was how the teachers kind of taught how they were going to build community. That we can be a part of the problem, or we can be part of the solution. You know, we know the problems in our world and our societies and our faith institutions. They exist. And they might not have been our responsibility. We might not have done it, or let's be honest, sometimes, yeah, unwillingly, unconsciously, or maybe even by choice, we were part of the problem. But Amos, I believe, is lifting up a voice for us to see that there is opportunity to be a part of the solution. You know, you remember that little baggie of crushed Cheerios and Mott's food wrappers, snack wrappers that I chose to ignore as I walked, and 10 feet later, I remembered the sermon outline that I had already written, and it was like, oh, I didn't drop it on the parking lot, so I could have walked by and just went about my day, but I chose to be a part of the solution, went back, picked it up, brought it inside the church, put it in the garbage can so it could be taken care of properly. I could have remained part of the problem by let's keep walking. Now, you might say in this example, boy, there's so much trash, it's even on Mars. What difference does that one little sandwich bag of crushed Cheerios make that you picked up? Made you feel good, didn't it, Pastor Mark? Well, and I think of part of what we need to think of is here is well, maybe that was one piece of trash that I picked up. But there's a whole lot of us that could pick up a whole lot of trash. Makes me think of a little motivational proverb or something one of those posters that I once saw on something about a man walking down the beach on the ocean, and the waves were particularly bad that they had washed up a bunch of starfish up on the beach. And so the man was throwing them back into the ocean, but there was miles and miles of them. There was no way that this guy could save all of the starfish. And someone else on the beach said, "Why are you even trying? You can't save them all. What difference does that make?" And as the man threw one back into the ocean, he said, "It makes a difference to that one." That any time we as the people of God see that there's the problem, that something's not right, the way in which our brothers and sisters are being treated isn't okay, and we do something to make that situation better, that makes a difference. That that does something that brings about the image of God in all of us, that brings about the reality of God's kingdom in a new way. So as we hear Amos's words, it is not a call of doom and gloom. It is not just a call that God is angry and upset and is going to destroy us. No. It's a call for us to see all that there is around us that is so wonderful, but also to see that there are things, there are people who can't experience that, who aren't allowed to, who are excluded, who've been exploited, however, but that we have an opportunity to make it better, to be about the solution. You know, maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you have seen a flyer about human trafficking and you see it all the time and you wonder about it and you're like, what is that? And why is it so bad? And what's going on? Maybe you've met someone who shared a story about being trafficked as a human being in our society right now. And you keep seeing it over and over again. Maybe that's God showing you something that you might be a part of the solution for. Maybe it is an environmental issue about how we handle our waste and the things that we use that you keep getting drawn to. That very well could be God saying, here's something that I want you to be a part of the solution for. And if that's something that you're experiencing, pray for that. God, are you asking me to be a part of the solution of this issue? Then give me the grace to be a part of what you're doing to solve it. And God, give me passion for it. The worst thing that we can do is just feel that it doesn't make a difference, whatever we might do. Have the passion to do whatever you can, to learn and to try and do whatever is the issue that you're seeing, that you're drawn to. And if we do that all as individuals, that will make a big difference. But as a collective, as a church, as people of faith, we can do the same exact thing. There are things that as churches that we are being lifted up to us that we could address together communally. And we can do the same things, pray for it. Ask for the passion, learn, and be willing to do something to be a part of the solution that God is doing. Because when God showed Amos and us that wonderful basket of fruit, when we think of all the wonderful things that we have in our lives that we enjoy that bring fullness and abundance to us, when we think of all the things that we have accomplished, that we have put a remote-controlled vehicle on Mars, we need to celebrate that and enjoy that. That's what God wants. But God also wants us to be mindful of those who can't celebrate at this moment and do whatever we can to bring us all together, because that's what God wants, that one day, we will all be together and we'll all be feasting in glory. That is the image that God gives us of where he is taking us and if we're willing to be a part of the solution. Amen.